And welcome to yet another edition of the 920 podcast. We are back with you. I'm Logan Quinton. He's Charlie Collier. The battery is complete. We're ready to go. The 920 bus is parked on the side, fueling up for this last stretch, this 920-mile journey from Knoxville to Omaha. The next stop is the Clemson Regional. The Vols are looking to, you know, make the most of it, because in Hoover, it was a quick stay. It was one and done. You only came away from that A&M game with one hit, and then you're back in Knoxville trying to rest up and get ready and do whatever you got to do to prepare and see what selection you get. Like I said, we've got the Clemson Regional. Charlie, I'm excited about this regional. I think it's top to bottom. I told you it's the most athletic regional, I think, top to bottom in the field. You've got Clemson, Charlotte, and Lipscomb. Tennessee is familiar with Lipscomb. There's some recency with Charlotte going back a couple of years ago. Charlotte beat the Vols 9-0 in the regular season that year. And a Clemson, I think, is the most athletic team in the country. And they've got a lot of good pieces. We'll go over it. We're going to hit on this Clemson regional briefly and then go the rest of the regions. And then maybe we'll circle back. So this pod is going to be a little different. The weekend rotation is going to be the rotation of all the different regions that we're going to hit on super quick. So before we do that, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Crumble Cookies. Go check out Clinton Highway, Parkside Drive. We've got a new location in Maryville that just opened up. So just about wherever you live in the Knoxville area, the surrounding area, you've got a Crumble Cookie location nearby. Go check them out, folks. Download the Crumble app. Get rewards points. You will get rewarded with cookies. So for that, Charlie, let's get into it. Quick, your thoughts, just your brief thoughts. Once you saw the selection and that the Vols were going to the Clemson Regional, what's your kind of cliff notes on the teams and the region in general?
Yeah, and you mentioned it, the most athletic regional. I was disappointed to see Tennessee in this regional just because of the level of difficulty. I think in terms of total RPI, this is the second toughest regional. I mean, RPI is somewhat of a broken metric, but a pretty strong indicator of how good these teams are. You have to go into a stadium full of a bunch of fans that have just been desperate for a good Clemson baseball team for a good while now. I mean, they hosted a regional in 2018, but that place is going to be rocking. It's a team that's won 16 straight games now, just won the ACC tournament. That is a tough Clemson team to beat. And to be quite honest, I was very much looking forward to just watching the Clemson regional for whoever was going to be in it and not having to stress about it, just because I think that Clemson team is an enjoyable team to watch. So not pleased that I now have to sweat out this Clemson regional. And, you know, if you're Tennessee, I think you probably feel a little bit slighted. On paper, there's no doubt that Tennessee is the best two seed from just a pure talent standpoint, and maybe even just in terms of resume and in terms of performance this year, still the best two seed. So, you know, I feel like they probably feel a little bit slighted being put in a regional with a number four seed. But then if you're Clemson, I mean, the flip side of that is you probably feel pretty pissed off too. You win 16 straight games, you win the ACC, and you get a regional back in Clemson, South Carolina, and your reward is a powerhouse of a baseball team and a team that's been one of the best teams in college baseball for about 4 years now. Oh, and by the way, just 3.5 hours down the road, so they're probably going to bring some fans with them. So I'd be pretty upset if I were Clemson. This regional as a whole, though, it has the feel of a regional that goes all the way to Monday. This thing is going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you touched on it. I've talked on the Fan Run airwaves this week that it's a tough draw for both Clemson and Tennessee. But I think if you're going to argue who got the rough end of the stick, I think it's Clemson. To be that high of a national seed and you're drawing Tennessee at number two as a two seed coming into your region, man, that's real tough. And then you got Charlotte and Lipscomb. We'll go over it here. Charlotte, 34-26 overall, 17-12 in their conference. Five of their first eight opponents that the 49ers faced this season ended up being tournament teams. They had really good strength of schedule. So before their conference play got underway, they were playing some really stiff competition. And being in the Carolinas, they played all those teams that you would think they probably would non-conference. Clemson, North Carolina, South Carolina, ECU, and Coastal. They beat South Carolina one of two times. They beat Coastal. And, of course, they beat Dallas Baptist, who is also in the field, in the finals of their conference tournament. Clemson. Not a ton of home runs, but they don't need it. Just enough. We'll go over that. 64 home runs on the year, 97 stolen bases. They're hitting .308. Batting average, that ended up being third in the ACC. They ran through the ACC tournament. They beat Virginia Tech, Boston College, North Carolina, and Miami for the championship. And those last three teams I mentioned, they're all in the tournament. And Virginia Tech, that first game of the conference tournament, Virginia Tech was fighting for their lives, fighting to get in the big dance. So, and they ran through that tournament. So I think that's a lot to be said there for the Tigers and their performance. You mentioned it, Charlie, the hottest team in the country. They ended on a streak and they just ran through that ACC tourney. Eric Bakich, his first year as head coach for the Clemson Tigers. If the name sounds familiar, he led Michigan to the 2019 College World Series, where they got put out by Vanderbilt. And which is funny because he is a Tim Corbin disciple and a Jack Leggett tree branch there. So that's where the Clemson ties come in. Outstanding job by Bakich this first year at Clemson. And then we got Lipscomb. They had a tough stretch. Like I said, Tennessee fans are used to seeing this team just about every year. We know that there are some unheralded guys that are a really tough bunch. They had a tough stretch where they went on a losing streak, and that was when they played Tennessee. After the loss to Tennessee this year, the Bison went on a 28-10 run to close the season. They are the A-Sun winners. They handled their conference well at 21-7 record in the conference. They've hit 106 home runs, 99 stolen bases. They have four guys with 16 homers or more. A key player to watch that we'll probably touch on later is pitcher Logan Van Treek. Great name, by the way. Great name there, Logan. He is 8-4 on the year, 3.50 ERA. 101 strikeouts to just 13 walks. So you're right, Charlie. This regional top to bottom is there's a competitive balance there, and can't wait for us to go check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny. You know, it's Clemson is the one seed that nobody wanted to see, and Tennessee is the two seed that nobody wanted to see, and now they're both seeing each other. And yeah, you mentioned it too. Charlotte and Lipscomb, they're no cakewalk. They're both competitive teams, and they both present a pretty interesting challenge for Tennessee and for Clemson.
All right, so let's go over it, man. Let's run into some of the other regions. We'll start in Baton Rouge, the LSU Baton Rouge Regional. You got Oregon State, Sam Houston State, and Tulane. What's your prediction there, Charlie?
I kind of want to pick an upset here. We've talked about it. We've been on this train for a while. Past Paul Skeens, You've been preaching it. They're vulnerable. You know, Paul Skeens, he'll be able to get him a game. Whenever they utilize Paul Skeens, that's a free win. But, I mean, for LSU, it's a Tulane team that, yeah, they won 19 games, but they're hot as all get out, and they're close to home. A Sam Houston team that has the nation's hit leader, if I'm correct, and a team that just rakes in general, and then an Oregon State team that, if they would have played a tougher schedule, and if the Pac-12 would have just had some better metrics in general, they could have been hosting their own regional. They won a lot of baseball games in the Pac-12 this year. So I think part of me really wants to pick whoever wins that Oregon State and Sam Houston State game. And I just can't quite get myself to do it. I don't know.
No, I agree.
Decision, right? So I guess I'll – you know what? I will take an upset. Sam Houston State.
Who now? What did you say? You cut out there.
I said, you know, I guess I have to make a decision, though. So, you know, I'll go ahead and make it, and I'll – I think maybe I'll take Sam Houston State. Actually, okay. No. I'm taking LSU, and I'm sticking with it.
That's okay.
Final.
Yeah, it is tempting. They've got some offense, like you mentioned, but Oregon State, I think a lot of people are going to pick that as like a sexy pick because you're used to seeing them as a one seed or two seed in the tournament. And it's just not the same Oregon State team. I've watched them some this year. They've got star power and Travis Bezana, but outside of that, I mean, the pitching's okay, but they just don't have any top-line guys. Outside of Travis, they don't have any eliminators, as I like to say. This is a pretty soft regional for LSU. My only concern is if there's an upset out of the 2-4 seeds, it's going to be Sam Houston State. But I think all in all, the LSU Tigers will outpower the competition here. I think they get put out in supers, but here I think it's not a problem for the Bayou Bengals. Let's move on to Lexington. If you haven't heard, I don't know, Charlie, whenever we do this podcast, there's usually breaking news. So I'm totally expecting some breaking news about this regional to where teams are fleeting Lexington and being put up in Airbnbs in Cincinnati, and they're just going to drive down because the University of Kentucky should not be as proud, right? This is nothing to be proud about when they're having to charge teams and players to stay in dorms. They're, I guess, on a technicality able to pass it off as hotel living space, rental space. I don't know, but it's a mess in terms of these teams and having to house them with all the other events going on in Lexington at the time. This is a very interesting regional to me. We've got Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
This might not be a regional that any kind of serious College World Series contender comes out of, but this just looks like a lot of fun. Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, Ball State, they're all kind of in that same region. They all just have a little bit of a gritty feel to them. This just has the vibe of like a cloudy, tough, gritty, fun to watch, like fight in the parking lot type regional. The whole hotel situation or hotels in quotation marks, I should say, the twin beds and dorm room situation. They didn't even give them the mattress toppers, by the way. They aren't even fulfilling the little promises they did make. But I think that only adds some extra juice to the fire that this regional already possesses. And I'm picking West Virginia to come out of there too. I know that they're probably disappointed they're not hosting their own regional right now. You know, a little bit of a punishment for their late season woes. Instead of hosting a regional, you're sleeping in some dorm rooms. I think that getting to the postseason and just getting a little bit of a soft reset for this West Virginia team wakes them back up. I like West Virginia to come out of here.
Great point, because we're going to see in cases like West Virginia and Tennessee, where you had more so with West Virginia, they kind of spiraled there the last weekend of the regular season and then had a disappointing postseason. Tennessee finished strong. They just had a disappointment in Hoover. So interesting cases there to see, like you said, how those teams take care of a reset, how they handle that. I really like West Virginia. They've got one of the best players in the nation in J.J. Weatherholt. That's a name to remember for this NCAA tournament. One of the best all-around players in the country. I like their chances to bounce back. And you mentioned it, Charlie. This region is going to be a bar fight. We know Kentucky. We're familiar with them and how they approach the game. It's death by a thousand paper cuts. They throw a ton of arms at you. And they're just hit the contact. They're going to apply pressure on the base path. So it's going to be interesting. That approach going up against West Virginia, Indiana. Indiana has a sneaky good offense. They're definitely offensive-minded. And then you got Ball State. So my pick out of this region, I'm going with the home team, man. I'm going with Kentucky. I'm going with them. And hopefully if they're hosting a super, hopefully there's better accommodations, but going with the Wildcats here and Nick Mangione, man, I really like him. I'm a big fan of his. I think they get it done. On to the Arkansas regional, Fayetteville. This is pretty interesting. You've got Arkansas, TCU, Arizona and Santa Clara. Charlie, your thoughts?
Oh, buddy. This regional was filled with a bunch of teams that I would love to pick if they weren't in Arkansas's regional. Santa Clara, probably the best four seed out there. I think I might call them the best four seed out there. I like the Santa Clara team a lot. Then, you know, TCU – they were probably on the outside looking in at one point before they won 12 out of their last 13 games and won a Big 12 tournament. Arizona, I was surprised to see get in 12 and 18 in the Pac-12, made it all the way to the Pac-12 tournament title game. I guess that was enough to push them over the top. Again, TCU, Arizona, Santa Clara, I think for a team like Arizona, for example, when you kind of sneak in, that gives you new life. Much like West Virginia gets a little bit of a reset after struggling down the stretch and getting there. If you're a team that's scrapping and scrapping and scrapping and, okay, hey, you get off the bubble, you're there. That gives you some life. We saw it with Ole Miss last year. So as much as I want to pick any of these three teams, TCU, Arizona, Santa Clara, Arkansas, man, they're just – such a good team. 20-10 in the SEC this year. Want to share the league title. They were bottom half of the league in a lot of your different batting categories, average, slugging, on base percentage, runs, scores. But they pitch well. And even when they're not getting a ton of hits, they get very timely hits. I just think this is an Arkansas team that's in a position to make a run, not just to a super, but to Omaha.
I totally agree. As someone who holds a ticket for an Arkansas future, did not like to see TCU and Arizona end up in this region. These were two bubble teams, TCU and Arizona. And you mentioned TCU finished strong. They won the Big 12 conference tournament. In Arizona, a lot of people thought, you know, they snuck in and you know, teams like UC Irvine, Kansas State got snubbed. This Arizona team, man, Chase Davis, Kiko Romero, that's a dynamic duo that can really carry you through a regional and make a super regional very interesting. They lack some overall pitching and overall depth in terms of measuring up to some of these other teams like Arkansas, who's got this thing at home. TCU has Braden Taylor, one of the most polished hitters in the country. He's a possible first-round selection in this summer's draft. He's a very intriguing prospect. They've got some offense. The pitching is definitely in question for the Frogs. Arkansas, top to bottom, you mentioned it, they tend to be very fluid with their lineup. They've had a ton of injuries, pitching and hitting this year. When you add it up, they have all the excuses in the world to not be where they're at right now, hosting. But yet they've found a way. They've continued to battle. They're the healthiest they've been in a long time. I was impressed with how they handled themselves in Hoover. And Dave Van Horn kind of called out his veterans at his exiting press conference when they lost that game to A&M. He said, you know what? It's up to our veterans. Our older guys have to step up, and they're going to have to produce next weekend. He also said that freshman Gage Wood, they were unsure if he said they're going to have to figure out if they're going to throw him again this weekend. He had a drop in velo last week in Hoover. He's a freshman that's been an outstanding, an eliminator type of arm for them out of the bullpen. But I really like how the Razorbacks have things set up with Hagan Smith, Hunter Holland, Brady Tygart is back. He should be in peak form right about now. So I'm with you, Charlie. I think the Hogs get it done, but ultimately this could potentially be a tough, tough draw for the host. But Arkansas gets it done. We agree with that. Charlie, let's head on over to Terre Haute, Indiana, where we thought we were packing our bags and trying to book places to Terre Haute. I hate that we get to miss out on the wonderful Children's Museum that they had there.
A lot of museums.
Yeah, a lot of museums.
Like way too many museums.
But nonetheless, they're still hosting. It'll be in Indiana State, Iowa, North Carolina, and Wright State. What do you think, Chuck?
I think that I'm glad I'm not in preparation to head to Terre Haute, Indiana tomorrow. But I'm seeing Indiana State getting a lot of disrespect. I'm not seeing a lot of people picking Indiana State. I'm seeing a lot of picks for Iowa, a lot of picks for North Carolina. This is a very balanced regional. I don't know. I like this Indiana State team a lot, though. 9 in the RPI. Keegan Watson hitting .308. Mike Sears, 19 home runs. Like, the offensive numbers don't stand out as much as maybe some of the other hosts. You know, just one player with more than 10 home runs. One player hitting over .300. But I just think sometimes with these Midwestern teams, these teams that start their seasons – in cold weather and that aren't able to play in their home ballpark, sometimes just have lower offensive numbers. You saw it with Notre Dame last year, and it's not the best indicator of how good of a team they are. I think the Indiana State team is awesome. So, you know, North Carolina, pretty good team, all things considered. Give up way too many home runs, but a solid team. Iowa, we've seen them pick up some big wins this year. Brody Becht has been awesome for them pitching 70 innings. He's only allowed 35 hits. And even Wright State, we see them quite a bit. They were a part of one of the best Tennessee baseball moments in the history of Lindsey Nelson. With all that being said, though, I just come back to the Sycamores. I'm trusting them.
Yeah, this one's a tough one for me. I want to lean Indiana State. Iowa has some pitching. You mentioned Brody Breck. He gave up. He put down the football helmet to focus on pitching full-time for the Hawkeyes.
He played football, too?
Yeah. Yep.
I know that.
And he was a tight end. And I would imagine being an offensive component in that Ferentz family-run offense doesn't take much to put down the football pads and focus on something else. I can't blame him there. But they've also got Marcus Morgan, and then Ty Langenberg. Those are some Iowa Hawkeye names to keep an eye on. They've got some nasty stuff, those three. It's just, it comes down to this Iowa offense. I mentioned football team being lackluster in terms of offense. I'm pretty confident at as vanilla as this Iowa baseball offense is, they could probably put up more production than the Ferentz family function they've got going on in the cornfields up there. North Carolina, it's Vance Honeycutt is enough to root for the Tar Heels. He alone is enough to predict the Tar Heels to upset this region. He's a darling outfielder in next year's draft. He's 2024 eligible. He can steal bases. He's got power to all fields. He's electric out there to watch cover some ground in center. He'll save a lot of runs, and he'll produce a lot of runs. The Tar Heels kind of snuck in there at the end, got in the field. And then you got Wright State. So, man, I was not doing it for me. I think if there's an upset, it's going to be North Carolina. But I got a feeling, man, that the Sycamores take care of things at home in Terre Haute.
Let's go. Let's go Sycamores. I hope they get it done. I want to see some of these small schools be successful. You know, in the last 5 years, it's really – I mean, it's been the same four or five conferences that have produced the vast amount of teams we've seen in Omaha. So I would love to see some Indiana States, you know, some Campbells, Southern Miss, Dallas Baptist, some of these other teams, East Carolina. I would love to see East Carolina finally get their way to Omaha and mix it up a little bit more. Parity's great. All the time in every sport.
Winston-Salem. We've got Wake Forest, Maryland, Northeastern, and George Mason. Charlie, I know we mentioned Maryland a lot early in the season. If they are at their best, they're a very interesting squad. But consistency is the key for the Terrapins. Northeastern, George Mason, not doing it for me in terms of being able to upset this region. Wake Forest is, in a small way, similar to Tennessee of 2022 in terms of how they made their rise to number one and at the top of the field for most of the year. The power metrics indicate, you know, they're one of the best at pitching and also hitting. They've got pitchers. They've got a whole weekend rotation set. They've got arms out of the pen. We know about the thumpers they have, like Brock Willekin, who's probably a first rounder in this year's draft. Can the Terrapins, it comes down for me, Chuck, it's can the Terrapins pull off the upset in this region? Because I don't see the other teams doing it. And I'm not sure Maryland can either, as inconsistent as they have been this year.
You want to hear a somewhat meaningless but mildly interesting factoid, Logan? Because
absolutely.
Last three times a Big Ten champion has been put in the same regional with the number one overall seed, they have defeated the number one overall seed. Does it mean anything? No.
Interesting.
Is it interesting? Yeah, it is. I like Maryland, dude. I really do. I'm big on this Maryland team still, even through the inconsistencies. And, I mean, you know, sometimes they reward you like they just did in the Big Ten tournament, and sometimes they fall flat. The only thing that concerns me about Maryland's upset bid is that Northeastern, interesting team, but they are led by a freshman right-hander, Avon Cobrell, who is 12th in the country with a 2.26 ERA, and he's only walked 12 batters this year. So, you know, I think he's going to make Maryland work a little bit more than you would hope in that Friday night game. I still just think I'm going to pick this Maryland team, though. Second in the country with 123 home runs. Matthew Shaw, Nick
LaRusso. They both have 23 each. LaRusso leads college baseball with 99 RBI. Look, I get it. Wake Forest, if you built a perfect baseball team, it would look a lot like this Deacon Demons team. They hit the ball, and they have an ERA that is sub 3. 2.82, that's best in the country. And funny enough, Northeastern actually has the second best, and it's at 3.57. So, I mean, only six other teams have a sub 4 ERA, and Wake Forest is sub 3. That's unbelievable. Doesn't sound like a guy that's picking Maryland describing Wake Forest right now. I just still – there's something about being that best team as long as Wake Forest has been that best team. There's something about the curse of being that number one overall seed. There's something about this Terrapins team that in a tournament setting, in a quick turnaround type of setting, I think can catch fire and get on the right side of inconsistent. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the upset here. I think for another year, the number one overall seed fails to reach Omaha, except I think this year they fail to reach a super regional entirely. I am going to take Maryland.
I'm glad somebody else has to deal with that this season. And, man, I can't quite come around on Maryland, I don't think. I think Wake Forest gets it done. But Maryland does have some nice pieces. You mentioned – Matt Shaw, he's going to be a first-round selection in this year's draft. I know a lot of scouts and a lot of those in the industry very high on Matt Shaw. He's going to be an up-the-middle guy. Our buddy Dan at Baseball Prospect Journal, Dan Zielinski, he thinks he's going to project to shortstop. And this is a guy that's a very disciplined hitter. Not a ton, like, in terms of projectability, it's above average power, but he's very disciplined and mature in his approach. A lot of people really like this guy as a prospect. In terms of pitching for the Terrapins, Savickle and is it Nick Dean? Nick Dean, Jason Savickle. That's their 1-2 punch. And they do have a closer in David Falco. They have a reliable closer with 9 saves, but there's not a lot in between. I think the depth and, you know, the talent top to bottom that Wake will have from Rhett Lauder to Sean Sullivan. I mentioned the offense that they have led by Brock Wilkin. At the end of the weekend, I think it's too much for everybody else. I'm going to go chalk again with Wake Forest.
Lame.
Well, I'm going to stop being lame with this next regional.
Where are we going?
Roll damn tide.
Oh.
We're going to Tuscaloosa, the Alabama regional. We've got Alabama, Boston College, Troy, and Nichols State. What are your thoughts, Chuck?
Credit to Alabama, first of all. As much as it pains me to do that, it's weird. You know, sometimes a coach getting fired midseason, like Brad Bohannon did in the middle of a gambling scandal, I guess we'll call it. Sometimes a coach getting fired under some weird circumstances can kind of light a fire under a team. And Alabama 10-4 since Jason Jackson took over as the interim coach. 7 of those 10 wins came against teams in the NCAA tournament field. I've been very impressed with what Alabama's done. It reminds me a lot of what happened at Texas when Chris Beard got fired, a veteran team kind of rallies around some adverse circumstances and, you know, ultimately it brings you closer together and makes you better for it. I think that's what happened with Alabama. Glad to see Boston College in here. First time they've had a winning record in the ACC ever. They were 5-25 in league play last year. No, we saw Boston College come into Lindsey Nelson and beat this Tennessee team. Yep. Is Honeywell still hurt for them? Do you know?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. They were in the mix to host. Like, I mean, they had an argument to host, right. And I just don't think the committee wanted to send teams up that way. You know, I mean, resume to resume, there's some argument there, but they were very close to hosting. I mean, they were so close that even the committee probably couldn't have done anything about it in terms of, hey, we just don't want, you know, teams to travel up there. We wanted another spot. But anyways, yeah, they have done all this, you know, without a good portion of Travis Honeyman.
I was going to say, I know he was hurt at the end of the season, but he is healthy for this regional, yes?
Let's see here. You know, my grading was even without, was with or without Honeyman. I'm going to look it up here. But in the meantime, Joe Vetrano, I don't know if you've seen him, Charlie, but my goodness. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, well, no, it's been more than a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he's due back. He is due back.
It was about a month ago, and they said 2 to 4.
Yeah, so they basically – I think it's a situation where he could have been good in literally like a couple of weeks, but you had postseason play, you know, the tournament. So I think the plan was, hey, like, we're in this thing. We're good. Like, let's just leave him out of the ACC tournament and get him ready for regionals. Okay. It was a shoulder. It was a hamate bone.
So with Travis Honeyman back then, I mean, that makes Boston College even tougher for this Alabama team. And not to mention, you know, Troy, they don't have to travel far to get to this regional. And Shane Lewis is third in the country with 27 home runs. Ironically enough, Troy has a batter with 27 home runs. Nichols has only hit 36 home runs all year. I don't think much of Nichols. I am tempted to take Boston College to win this regional, but actually I think Alabama keeps it rolling as much as, again, it pains me to say. I'm going to pick Alabama to come out of this regional.
I'm taking the Eagles, man. The Golden Eagles fly south and take care of this regional, man. I think they upset Bama. I think Bama's running out a little bit out of gas. I don't think – I mean, it's a great storyline with the coaching situation. I think that only gets you so far. I mean, I can come around on the fact that this is an older squad. You know, we're seeing a lot of the effects of COVID in terms of teams playing above their means, so to speak, because of the depth and the older talent that they have, the experience, right? Southern Miss fits that mold. Alabama fits that mold. A lot of older guys on this squad. So I like that. But, man, in Hoover, when Tommy Seidel went down, it was like an instant reaction. It was like they were a total different team without him. I know it's just one game. Like, it's a small sample, but I'm taking Boston College here. I'm a huge Chris Flynn fan. He is one of their top pitchers. They have some depth. They don't have these top-end guys, but Chris Flynn is a guy that I backed several times this season. 4.21 ERA, 1.4 whip, but he's a top that's going to keep you in the ballgame. He's got some pitchability. From him to Henry Leak to John West. John West, he's one that a lot of people don't know about that's really good on the pitching side of things. And then offensively, I mentioned him at the top of this region, Joe Vetrano, 18 home runs on the year, but it feels like he's hit 17 in the past month. The guy's just murdering baseballs right now. I think if they get Travis Honeyman back, they're just that much more dynamic. Yeah, give me the Golden Eagles here.
By the way, on the softball front, we're recording this on a Thursday afternoon. Live, as we're doing this, Tennessee just won. won the first game of the Women's College World Series, took down Alabama.
Roll damn Tide. What was the score?
10-6.
Nice. You love to see it.
Yeah, Tennessee in control really the whole game. Apparently it was the most runs that we've ever scored in a Women's College World Series game. So shout out. Let's go Ribbons.
Yeah, and that kind of makes sense. I mean, I keep up with it as much as I can, but I just know going back to those Monica Abbey years, if Tennessee had any pulse of an offense, they would have had, what, like two or three rings by now? But
you get to the Women's College World Series, and there are just some studs out there pitching for some of these teams.
Yeah,
they are probably going to have to play Oklahoma tomorrow, who at the time of recording this has won, I believe it's like 50 straight games. So, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Did Oklahoma win it all last year?
Yeah, I think they've won back-to-back, and they're going for three in a row.
Oh, geez. All right, so we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're almost halfway there, Chuck. Let's go to Nashville, the Vanderbilt Regional. We've got Vandy, Oregon, Xavier, and Eastern Illinois. Vanderbilt coming off the championship, the SEC tournament down in Hoover. They made it all the way, made it to Sunday, and got the job done. Not a lot for me in this region. I do think Oregon is a very interesting team. I think they can be a little bit of a bad matchup for Vandy. I'm not worried about Xavier or Eastern Illinois. Can Vandy be healthy enough to make it out of their own region?
I remember last time, or maybe it wasn't last time, but I remember Xavier being in Nashville back in 2016, I think it was, and beating Vanderbilt in that regional opener. I remember going to that game, actually. It was a lot of fun. Xavier's won games in their last two trips to the NCAA tournament. 2-2 as a 3-seed in Louisville, 2-2 as at
and Charlie. We'll give him a second to see if he can unfreeze.
I'm frozen.
Yeah, you froze up. You're good now, though, I think.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, yeah, you're good.
Where did I leave off?
The game you went to.
Oh, well, it was a good time. But, yeah, Xavier, I mean, they've been pesky when they've been in regionals. Yeah, 2-2 in 2017 as a 3-seed. 2-2 in 2016 as a 4-seed. They're really the only team in this regional that I see putting up a fight, though. Eastern Illinois won the OVC. Good for them. Good for Eastern Illinois. First time in over 10 years that they've been to a regional. Oregon, actually, funny enough, opened the season sweeping Xavier. There's nothing about Oregon that inspires any kind of confidence in me. This feels like the kind of regional that Vanderbilt should just easily be able to coast to Omaha, or I mean to a super, in my opinion. It almost seems too simple for Vandy right now. You just won the SEC tournament, and now you're back in Nashville, and you have a pretty easy path in front of you. It's almost sketching me out like maybe it's a little too easy. I still think Vanderbilt gets out of it. I think Xavier takes him to Monday, and I think Vanderbilt wins it. But I'm giving nothing to Oregon or Eastern Illinois. They are afterthoughts in this region.
Yeah, as far as the Ducks are concerned, they do have a couple of dudes, a couple of names that can help them get out of this region. Saban Ceballos is a very interesting prospect. He's hitting .342, 121 total bases on the year, 15 home runs, .439 on base. He's leading that offense. As far as the pitching staff, Jay Stoffel is a really good pitcher. He's not a particularly high strikeout dude, but he's going to limit bases. He is by far their best pitcher. that's where they kind of struggle in terms of pitching, is they don't have a solidified rotation. They do have a closer in Josh Malouris, I think is how you pronounce it, 9 saves on the year. But Oregon will have to just, I think you kind of touched on it. The longer the weekend goes, the bigger pitching advantage that Vandy has. They made it all the way to Sunday in Hoover and won the thing, and they were almost out of pitching. That gave way to guys like JT Thompson. He made his first start of his career. He's a freshman, had like 14 innings on the season. They're having to start him on Saturday to get to that Sunday game. So, and he did a good job hanging in there. So they've got some depth. Are they healthy? That's my question. Is Carter Holton going to come back and be typical form? EBJ, man, what's there not to say about him? I mean, even when he's not collecting hits together, the guy's finding a way to get on base. And then in the outfield, he saves runs. I mean, this dude is just unreal. When he's it's going to be scary. I just have this nerve-wracking feeling that EBJ is going to get it together in terms of balls in play. He's had a little bit of bad luck in that category all season. He's consistently getting contact, and he's driving the ball. It's just the balls in play, a little bit of bad luck there. If that reverses and that starts to regress to the mean, this dude starts, if he hits 350 in postseason, I mean, he could get hotter than that. If that happens, this thing, man, Vanderbilt is going to be all the more dangerous, and this thing's really going to get going. And that's the other question for me. Even if Vandy gets healthy in terms of the pitching staff, can this offense be consistent? We've seen the up and downs. They were ice cold. Even though they won games non-conference, they were ice cold offensively. And then as soon as SEC play started, they caught fire offensively, and then they cooled back off. You know, we saw Tennessee swept them and Lindsey Nelson. Interesting team to watch. You can't put your thumb on them all year. So I don't know what to predict for the Commodores this postseason, but as a whole, they get out of this region, the Nashville Regional. Let's head over to Stillwater, Charlie. We've got Oklahoma State, Dallas Baptist, Washington, and Oral Roberts. What do you think?
I just hope for everyone's sake that Stillwater draws some similarities to last year, where we had roughly 1,782 runs scored in about 4 days. That was some of the most fun I've had watching a regional period. And I look at this regional, it lines up to be another pretty fun region all around. Obviously, Oklahoma State has one of the better hitters in the country. They have the power. They're in a regional for the 10th straight year. Josh Holliday, that's all he really does. Get to regionals. Dallas Baptist, I love this Dallas Baptist team. They had an outside shot of hosting a regional themselves and maybe could have had a better argument if they could have won their conference tournament. But a true freshman catcher in Jay Grant, that's incredible. It's a Dallas Baptist team that just plays good baseball and is relevant in regionals every year. Same with then you got a Washington team, not same with Washington, but another pesky team. They won the Conway Regional, won the Fullerton Super Regional back in 2018. This is the first time they've been back in the postseason since. And even the four seed. I said Santa Clara was the best four seed. If it's not Santa Clara, it could very well be Oral Roberts, who went a casual 23-1 in the Summit League and then won three consecutive games in a league tournament by a combined score of 36-8. I don't have a great feel for what's going to happen in this regional, but I think there's going to be fireworks. I am just incredibly excited. And with all that being said, this is, for me, where my upset, where my Cinderella story is going to come from. Oral Roberts, I can't get enough of this team. Look, you know, it's not a good schedule. It's not a tough schedule. It's not a tough conference. But all you can do is play the game that's in front of you. And that's what they do. They play the game. They play the schedule that's in front of them. And they dominate it. Jonah Cox and Kay Denton, collegiate baseball All-American teams. They have the Summit League Player of the Year. They have, again, just so much talent. They hit the crap out of the baseball, and they just win. And at some point, man, in baseball, when you're winning that many games, you're doing something right. I think they're going to come in there and just continue to win. I mean, again, Jonah Cox hit .422 this year, was untouchable. Out of their batting order, out of their starting nine, I think seven of them are hitting over .300. They can pitch pretty damn good, too. All three of their weekend starters whip under 1.25 and ERA under 3.4. This is by far my favorite upset pick. I will be placing a couple of units on Oral Roberts to win this regional, and I'm picking Oral Roberts to win this regional.
Oh, my Lord. That's my reaction to this regional. I love it, too, Charlie. I think the most fun. Those words were very appropriate for what's in store for Stillwater, Oklahoma State, Rock Riggio, and then you got Jordan Watts Brown. Watts Brown is probably going to be a first-round selection. He's an interesting pitching prospect. And the Dallas Baptist, a lot of firepower there. I like Oral Roberts in terms of being a four seed that can upset some folks. But my pick is going to be Washington, the Huskies. Don't be surprised if these arms, some of these Husky arms, shine in this region. They got a lot of stuff, a lot of electric stuff on their pitching staff, led by Kiefer Lord. He is my pick, my name to watch in this region. He's got electric stuff, man. We'll see if it plays. Because when this Washington team has the pitching going, the offense is known to have these outbursts. It's not been over the top consistent or anything. Obviously, they're a three seed, barely getting into the tournament, but very, very interesting team for me. I'm picking Washington to upset Stillwater. So with that, let's go to Auburn, Alabama. We've got Auburn, Southern Miss, Samford, and Pennsylvania. Who you got, Chuck?
Don't sleep on those Quakers now. They went and won a series in College Station last year, gave South Carolina all they could handle earlier this year. Don't sleep on them. The what do they call them?
The Quakers? Or their mascot? Are you talking about the?
I mean, I know they're the Quakers, but they had a fun nickname, and now I can't remember it. What a shame. Either way, the Quake Show. Thank you. Don't sleep on the Quake Show. Again, a pretty pesky pin team. Southern Miss and Samford are both teams that I think could make a run and get to a super. I like both of those teams a lot. And I'm still just not fully buying into Auburn. So I think this is going to be one of Samford or Southern Miss Southern Miss, obviously, you know, they can throw Tanner Hall, and that's a huge leg up. But, you know, Jacob Cravey is a top three-round pick, too, for Samford. So both of these teams have some talent. I really thought last year was going to be the year for Southern Miss with the pitching that they had, with the way that was set up, and then, you know, quickly things fell apart for them. I think this is going to be the year for Southern Miss, though. I'm gonna take the Golden Eagles to get out of this Auburn regional, potentially setting up Tennessee to maybe host a super if they can get out of their own regional. Southern Miss, man. Scott Barry, he is retiring after the 2023 season. He's gotten an NCAA tournament 9 times in 13 years.
Point.
Each of the last 7 years. I don't think they're letting Scott Barry go out without at least getting to a super. There's just – you get situations like this. You get a little bit of magic. You're playing for something even bigger than yourself. Like, again, your incredible legendary coach that's retiring. I like the Southern Miss team. I like the vibes they got.
Totally agree. Great point by you, trying to send their coach out in style. Man, 1 through 4, I really like this region. I wouldn't be surprised if Samford flips this thing. You talked about it. They have interesting prospects on that. They're like, we talk about the transfer portal. It's transfer portal season. But Samford is that portal before the transfer portal. It's like all kinds of talent goes there, and then they hit the portal and go elsewhere, a la Sonny DeShera last season. Colton Ledbetter this season. And so regionally, those dudes know a lot about each other in terms of Auburn and Samford. I think that trickles over into the Southern Miss clubhouse. But it's an older group led by Tanner Hall on the pitching side of things. Give me the Eagles. I think they soar out of Auburn with the win. Let's go to Gainesville. Charlie, this is a quick handicap for me. UConn doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. You can talk to me about RPI and like how they, you know, this is a really sneaky good team. We heard the same thing last year. And they just, it seems like when it's time to really prove their worth, there's a letdown. Texas Tech, it's not your same Texas Tech team that you're used to seeing. Yes, they've still got that launch angle offense going. Mason Molina, I really like him as a pitcher, but he's the only one I would be even willing to back in this region. And then you got Florida A&M. Florida is just, there's too much firepower offensively. BT Rypel was absolutely on fire last week in Hoover. He was all tournament. And Wyatt Langford is probably – he is the – how should I say this? Probably – there's a reason why there's talk about Wyatt Langford going number one overall or even number two. He's going top three without question. Very impressed with Langford. Even after the injury, man, like that's – remember the injury he had and, you know, bounce back from that quick. And he's on another level right now. I think he's able to carry them, and he's got a supporting cast of Jackie Kags and BT Rypel, Luke Heyman and others. I mean, the list goes on, and that's not even getting to Brandon Sproat and Hurston Waldrop. Man, I really like this Florida squad. I think they're worth looking at a futures ticket to win the whole thing. I'm taking Florida. Who you got, Chuck?
Couldn't have said it better myself. I am – right now I'm thinking Florida. I haven't cemented a pick yet, but I'm really leaning towards Florida to be my pick to win the College World Series.
Yeah, and honestly, when I wish we would have gotten together and been more proactive. I was trying to figure out how to manage betting on the regionals, because at some books you can bet on regional winners. And At one book, at one online book, this price opened up at minus 140 for Florida to win the regional.
That's free money.
And like it's at minus 175 right now. I think I'm going to lay the juice. Just because it's juicy doesn't mean there's not value. I've got this thing at like minus 200.
I feel the same way about that Arkansas regional.
Even money for Arkansas. It opened up plus 130 and then it shortened up real quick.
I'm sad that my book does not offer region winner prices this year, or at least it didn't as of yesterday afternoon. But there are some good region bets out there that I sent to some of my friends on some of the other books. But with this,
I wish you could parlay.
I do too. There's some big money to be made if you could parlay. This Gainesville regional, pretty mean to make Florida A&M go play Florida. First of all, just mean. If you can get a Florida team total, I would take it all the way to like 18 and a half. I mean, this is a Florida A&M pitching staff that ranks 256th nationally out of 295 teams in hits per nine. They just kind of get roped. And Florida, I mean, they make great pitchers look average. So I don't know what they're going to do to Florida A&M. I hope they take it easy on them a little bit. But I'm not looking forward to what Florida A&M is going to have to do or is going to have done to them on Friday. UConn and Texas Tech, I think it'll give us a pretty fun game, at least a close game. I just don't think either of those two teams have what it takes to beat this Florida team, man. They're just a juggernaut. And you get them at home, you know, you get them in that Florida weather. They're tough to beat. They have the star power. They have the coaching. They have the pitching. Again, very well might be my pick to win it all. I probably have to decide that by the end of the day. But I like this Florida team.
Let's move on to the Columbia Regional. We've actually got tickets. If anyone
need tickets, I know a guy.
Yeah, we know a guy that's got a pair of tickets to the regional. All seriousness, we do. So, and we're not trying to bust heads. So hit us up if you need a pair of tickets to the South Carolina regional for, what is it, Charlie? Saturday, 6 p.m.?
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, I listed them online. I don't think they're going to sell. I accidentally bought tickets to the Columbia Regional for the Saturday night game at 6 o'clock. So, you know what? If you're a listener and you want those tickets, just hit me up. And as a thank you for being a loyal listener and still being tuned in this deep into the podcast, they're all yours. Free tickets for you. So,
and hey, all seriousness too, like South Carolina, Campbell, North Carolina State. You're in the South Carolina, this is a great regional to go to at Founders.
Yeah. I would love to go to this regional, actually. Yeah,
we might actually do it. If Tennessee goes 0-2 and we still got those tickets, we might ride up there. But, we've got South Carolina who – Charlie, we've got a 200-1 ticket with these guys, which is great value. But the problem is – it's a little bit of running out of gas. It's a little bit of injuries. Man, they've been eviscerated with injuries on the pitching staff. They weren't a team that could afford injuries in that regard. And then you had Will Sanders had to sit out for rest. Eli Jerzenbeck out for the year. Noah Hall has had some back issues. It's just been a rough go here down the stretch for the Gamecocks. But they end up hosting. They'll have this thing at Founders. Will Sanders should be back and available. Will he be at his typical self? That Will Sanders that looks so good and, you know, that type of quality that has made scouts over the years mention this guy for first round or, you know, top of day two. What do we get out of the pitching side of things? I think that South Carolina offense will be there. I think that they will produce this weekend. Then you got Campbell, who is, gosh, they got so much swag and so much attitude and mindset going into this thing. And then North Carolina State. they have one of the best players that most of our listeners have probably never heard about, Lou James McGruver. He is one of the best bat-to-ball guys in the country. He can wreak havoc on this region. Ultimately, Chuck, I am going Camel. The Fighting Camels, I think they take this regional.
I miss the days that they used to be Campbell State, personally, the Fighting Camels, instead of just Campbell. I love this Campbell team, dude. They, you said it, they got swag, and I think they got a little bit of extra juice, too. They should be hosting. They firmly believe that Campbell should be hosting a regional. They firmly believe they should be hosting a regional. They're not, and instead they got passed up for another team that's, you know, just a short drive south that finished 5-13 in their last 18 games and really is playing some bad baseball. On South Carolina here for a minute, mentioned it with West Virginia, a team that was playing good baseball, you know, kind of had a bad series to end the year, a bad weekend in the year, and then didn't close out the Big Ten tournament either. I think for a team like West Virginia, you know, you can still reset when you get into the postseason. For South Carolina, man, I think the wheels have come off. Again, 5-13 in the last 18 games. Lost that final SEC series, lost midweek games to North Florida and Charlotte in May. I just don't think South Carolina puts it back together. And Campbell, man, they just hit the ball. Second in runs scored, second in slugging, fifth in home runs, 11th in average. NC State, for me, you mentioned, I mean, they do have some a couple of dudes, but they're too inconsistent to put it together for an entire weekend. And, you know, Central Connecticut State, a little bit pesky, but they can't really pitch at all. I think Campbell rolls through this regional. And I think they do it with some swag, with some juice, with some fire. I don't think they beat a team by less than three runs all weekend, and I think they sweep through this regional.
Would love to see it. And by the way, the Camels, Cade Keeler, that's their ace. He is projected to be a first-round selection. So they got – it's a little bit of both ends for the Camels. They can beat you in many different ways. Let's head over to the Charlottesville Regional, Virginia hosting in that one. East Carolina, Oklahoma, and Army. Chuck, for me, this one, it comes down to can East Carolina ride the wave of momentum into Virginia, into Charlottesville to upset this region? I don't think they can. My pick is Virginia. Jake Geloff, Kyle Teal. My goodness, man. That's a dynamic duo. What are your thoughts on this regional?
Oh, man. Virginia with that 334 average, that's pretty intimidating. And Kyle Teal hitting 414 is even more intimidating. They have six players with at least 100 in bats hitting at least 300. I'm not overly intrigued by Oklahoma.
No.
Don't think they really had it this year.
No.
Army, fifth straight year. They're in a regional. They've also lost eight consecutive games in the NCAA tournament. Beat number one seed NC State back in 2018, but it's been a long time since. I don't really put a lot of stock into them either. This is a two-team race to me, Virginia and ECU, and this is just – this isn't your mom and dad's East Carolina team this year. First time in a regional since 2017. 2016, they were in Charlottesville, actually advanced to a super. But I just don't think ECU has the pitching to deal with the Virginia bats. This, to me, screams maybe the most boring regional out there. I don't think any of them are boring, and I don't think this is either. But of all the regionals, maybe the most boring regional out there. And yeah, I'll take Virginia, I guess.
I 100% agree. I will take the Cavaliers as well. A little nugget for draft talk for this summer's draft. Kyle Till, a lot of steam with him, man. He's going to be the best or the first catcher off the board. And he may be top 10. He's getting a lot of love right now. Excited to see what he does this postseason, along with Jake Geloff. That, like I said, dynamic duo. Let's head over to Conway, South Carolina. We've got Coastal Carolina, Duke, UNC Wilmington, Rider, and, can the Chanticleers, man, they lots and lots of offense, man. I mean, I'm interested to see how many runs come out of this regional. Man, this is a tough one for me. Duke seems to be losing some steam here at the end. UNC Wilmington, I know there's a lot of people that are high on that bunch. At the end of the day, I'm going Coastal, man. I think they produce enough runs to squeak out of this regional. What do you think?
Sorry, you cut out there. You said, who did you end up picking to win the regional?
Coastal. I think their offense just is able to overcome and get out of this region.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, Duke is pesky. They have a great bullpen. Fran O'Shell, James Talon, just a heck of a 1-2 punch. O'Shell, sub-1 ERA, 1.44 batting average against. Talon has 11 saves and a 1.69 ERA. If you are in the lead when you get to those guys, then Duke will give you some issues. But, I think Coastal has the bats. I like this Coastal team. UNCW, I don't think they have the pitching. Be honest with you, I couldn't tell you just about anything about Rider. They've somehow just eluded me all baseball season long. I know that they have a guy that's second in the country in saves, and that's about all I know about Rider. So I think this is another one of those where, kind of like Charlottesville, it just comes down to the one and the two. I think this is Coastal and Duke, and I'll take Coastal's bats over Duke pitching by just a hair.
I'm surprised you're not as familiar with Rider, Chuck, because the one sports book you can use, they like to use Rider as a part of their beta phase when early on in the season doing some live betting action. You can always count on trying to get a sweat going with Rider and Wagner in February if you want.
I actually always saw him on there, and then I just left it be.
It's like a beta phase thing that they do. But, I mean, would you love to be one of only five people in the stands just live betting that thing?
If I could go to Rider games, I would bet on every one of them. I would have way too much fun. They would know exactly who I was. But I didn't want to get into Rider because I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to get off of Rider.
Right.
That's a rabbit hole I didn't want to go down. All of a sudden, I'm betting one Rider game, I'm betting two, and the next thing I know, I'm on the back pages of the internet streaming the MEAC? The MAC, whatever it is. To sweat out a -2.5 on a live bet. So I just kind of left Rider alone.
One thing that I can bet on and that I will bet on right now, the Stanford Regional. We've got Stanford, Texas A&M, Cal State, Fullerton.
I think we're on the same side, and I hammered this too.
Yep. Texas A&M, folks, if you can get A&M to win the regional for +175, attack, attack, attack. That is, look, I'm telling you, Stanford, I'll be the first to admit, the Cardinal, year in, year out, they're one of the most talented teams in the country. They're probably the most talented team outside the SEC. I had them projected last year, power rankings, right after the Volunteers. And, that didn't come to fruition as far as those two meeting in Omaha for the title game like I thought it would. They just, when it's time to put your pride on the table, Stanford just does not get it done. And the same can be said for this year. I've monitored this team all season in a Pac-12 that was wacky, and really there was some competitive balance in that conference. But they should have handled the conference better. They've really let some things go on the pitching staff. They're susceptible to giving up runs in quite an allotment. I'm going the Aggies here. I love Jim Schlossnagel. I liked how they performed in Hoover. I don't think it's a fluke what they're doing on the pitching side of things. I think a lot of things are coming together at the right time. It's an offense that, admittedly, Schloss says, like, look, we're missing that power element from last year. We're missing Dylan Rock. But he's like, we got guys that go up there and just battle. And from top to bottom, they are so, so good. They'll keep it turning. They're guys that are very poised, whether it's a freshman in Jace Lavalette or whether it's a Hunter Haas. I really like the lineup. I like their approach. Give me the Aggies here to win this division.
I don't really know the best way to put it, but it seems like every year in college baseball, we just kind of get a couple of those vibes teams. And, you know, it's a combination of still having talent and good coaching too. But, you know, the vibes, this doesn't sound like great sports analysis, I know, but you see it in college sports sometimes. The vibes are huge. You know, that Michigan team that made a run and beat UCLA, they had the vibes going. That Ole Miss team last year, they had the vibes. And this year it feels like A&M's that team. You know, they had the run in Hoover and the luggage cart celebration, and everything's kind of coming together for them towards the end of the year. Pitching well. Laviolette's a stud. And really, too, it comes back to Schlossnagel for me. He is, outside of Tony Vitello, probably my favorite coach in the country.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying the best or anything, but my favorite for sure. I'm a big fan of Schlossnagel. I think he's going to have this team in a great spot. I think they roll through the Stanford Regional. Alberto Rios, he's incredible. Tommy Troy, he's awesome. Both of those guys for Stanford, putting up some impressive numbers. But you said it, dude. When it's time to get tough, Stanford gets going, and not in the right direction. I think this is a soft team. I think you're right. They've let some things go on the pitching side, and I just don't think they have the fight necessary to take down this A&M team. I love A&M here, which. Also, brief shout-out, Cal State Fullerton. Good to see them back in a regional after missing the last three. Basically, from the time that they became a program in 1975 through 2018, they were in a regional just about every year. They missed the last three. They're back. I always like seeing Fullerton out there. And shout-out San Jose State, too, in a regional for the first time in 21 years. But I think this is A&M's region to win.
And just a side note, while I was in Hoover, obviously I was just there for the weekend. The Vols were already gone, but I was still able to cover a lot of these teams. And what we're seeing on television and, you know, hearing, whether it's ESPN or SEC Network, and it's kind of the same sentiment about what you said about Schlossnagel. And I just want to point out that it's real. Like, I saw how he interacted with these dudes. I heard his answers to questions. I asked my questions as well. And I came away even more impressed with what he is doing with that bunch down there in College Station. I think they're one to watch. Chances of winning it all, who knows? But to get out of this region, to upset Stanford out west, love their odds, man. Plus 175. I've got them as a slight favorite, actually, to win this regional. So let's head over to Coral Gables. Miami hosting Texas, Louisiana, and Maine. This region was an absolute mess last year. The weather, there was a hurricane or something going on, and can't believe they even got this regional in. And there was talks of having to move it and what they were going to do in terms of playing elsewhere. And if you remember, this is where it all started for Ole Miss. They became road dogs in a funny situation way down there on South Beach. So does the winner out of this region win it all again? I don't think so. But Miami's an interesting team. Texas, Louisiana, Maine. Texas is in the same regard for me as Vanderbilt, but on a lower scale. You can't quite figure them out. Tanner Witt, certainly. His availability has affected this team greatly. But even with that, they just aren't consistent enough. And I'm not sure if they can. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they win this regional. But I'm going to take the home team with Yo-Yo Morales. And they have the best closer in the game. The Hurricanes do. So, Chuck, do you see anything different?
I have zero feel for this regional. Couldn't tell you. Could not tell you. I mean, Texas went 7-2 down the stretch. You feel like they're figuring it out. They swept West Virginia, and then they go 2-0 in the Big 12 tournament. Louisiana, I mean, glad they got in. You know, they made a good run in their conference tournament. And I mean, speaking of running, they run a lot. Third nationally, 161 stolen bases, but they've also been caught 57 times, which is also tops in the country. Another good but kind of inconsistent team. Maine, well, nice. Maine, cool. Go Black Bears. I like seeing Maine in the tournament. I always find the Black Bears an interesting team to watch. They actually made some College World Series back in the day. Back in like the 70s, 60s, pretty good baseball program. You know what? Give me Maine.
Whoa! The Bears.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I'm just going to take Miami. When I have no feel, I'm just going to default to the home team and call it a day.
Yeah, Yo-Yo Morales, and they have Andrew Walters, the best closer. I think that alone – They've got a starting point and an end point. And for a Texas team that's been wildly inconsistent, I think Miami is the way to go here. We see it both ways, Chuck. Before we get out of here, I guess we'll circle around back to the Clemson regional real quick. Charlotte is an interesting bunch, an interesting opponent for the Vols. They have had outbursts this year where in one game they had 6 home runs. In one game they had 8 doubles. That was against MTSU. The 6 homer game was against Western Kentucky. As a team, they're averaging 265 in terms of batting average. 97 homers on the season. Stolen base department, a modest 34 out of 51, but they'll probably try to attack Tennessee on the base pass. In terms of pitching, Wyatt Hudepel, I think that's how you say it. He is 6-6 on the year. He is their ace, 1.17 whip. He has a plus curveball and a plus changeup. He's going to try to locate with his fastball that's 91, 93, and he's going to carve you up with the curveball and change. Those two pitches have been best of late for him. He has 118 strikeouts to just 26 walks on the year. It's sounding like he will probably go tomorrow night, Charlie. And this is a guy who he threw twice in the conference tournament last week. And particularly Sunday, he threw on, I think it was a Wednesday. And then, he came back and threw like 94 pitches on Sunday. So, this is a guy who threw 100 or more pitches like for, I think it was 6 games in a row early on in the season. So he's capable of being high usage. So it's sounding like he may go tomorrow. That will be interesting to see. I like the game plan if that's what it is for Charlotte. You might as well send your ace out there and try to survive in advance, even though it's a double elimination. And then they've got Cameron Hansen in terms of their weekend rotation. All these teams in this regional have their primary starters set, right? It's you may see a lot of teams this time of year where it's like they've got one guy and then they kind of patch it up, or they got two guys and then they patch it up the rest of the way. All these rotations in this regional have primary guys, have a few primary guys that they can work with, and the 49ers, you know, fit that mold. Colin Kramer is their lefty starter that they can throw, and I'm sure they won't hesitate to throw him in the mix against the Vols if they need him in relief. Maybe he starts. We'll see. In terms of offense for Charlotte, Austin Knight was a Tennessee transfer a couple years ago. He's a really good infielder for them. 11 home runs, 12 doubles on the year. Conference USA Player of the Year last year. Jake Cunningham is an outfielder that's probably a day two guy in this year's draft. He's hitting .281 with 11 homers. Cam Fisher, everyone, all the Vols fans have probably heard his name by now. He used to play for Hardin Valley here in Knoxville. He's the nation's leader in home runs with 30 home runs, 64 RBI. The dude is getting on base over half the time, 509 on base percentage.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably pretty good.
Pretty good. Charlie, any thoughts on Charlotte in this matchup that we're going to see tomorrow?
Some interesting storylines for sure that you kind of laid out there. And again, you know, Andrew Lindsay pitching against his former team. With Charlotte, I am a little bit concerned just with the again, you know, lefty arms in general are scary at this point. You said they're not going with their lefty on Friday night, though. You said that they're going to go with or is it going to be Colin Kramer?
A day or two. I can't remember if it was yesterday or day before, but the talk was that the sense was that they were going to go with Hudopel, which is their.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be a big mistake not to go with Colin Kramer, honestly. Just with Tennessee and the way they fared against lefties at times.
Yeah. I think that's the, if it's not Wyatt, then it's definitely Kramer.
If Tennessee bows out of this regional, or if they, especially if they bow out early, it's because they ran into left-handed pitching and couldn't get past it. That is Tennessee's biggest kryptonite. That is the thing that has me, you know, most concerned about Tennessee when I want to, pick them to make a run. So I think it would be a mistake not to go with Colin Kramer, but if they're not going with Colin Kramer, I feel better about that game. Andrew Lindsay is just coming off of one of his best starts, if not his best start, 8 1/3 innings in a 5-0 win against South Carolina. Got a little bit of a rest there with Tennessee getting booted from Hoover early. I mean, I think Tennessee's pitching can and should carry them. Everybody in pretty good form besides Drew Beam coming off of that South Carolina series, and I trust Drew Beam to bounce back. So, in general, yeah, the Charlotte team's pesky, but, you know, at some point, if you're Tennessee, you just got to step up and be the team you can be, and no better time than now. Again, only thing that would really concern me in that Charlotte game is if we see Kramer come out there instead.
Pretty sure Troy Wansing is packing his bags and heading out to Palo Alto with the Aggies. So hopefully he's not geared up in a Charlotte uniform.
I mean, even Jarvis Evans got us too.
A little
soft throwing lefty.
So that'll about do it for me, Chuck. I'm excited to go to this regional. we're heading out tomorrow. And anything that we didn't touch on, we're going to try to get out some content between now and tomorrow, maybe even on the ride there to Clemson. Like I said, if you are in the Carolinas, or if for some reason you would like to travel to Columbia to check out that regional Saturday evening in Columbia, we got a pair of tickets. Hit us up, DM me at LDQ Sports, or DM Charlie at C Collier 64. Charlie, any parting thoughts on any of these regionals or the whole field in general before we depart?
Parting thoughts. If you're going to be in Clemson this weekend, also feel free to hit us up. Come grab a drink with us. Hang out. Would love to meet you. Would love to see you. It's going to be a good time. I think there's going to be some Tennessee fans there. I wonder how many, just because of the ticket situation and how, you know, Clemson fans are really going to pack it in. But I think there's going to be some Tennessee fans in there. I think for our sake, me and you, Logan, we picked – well, we didn't pick. We got sent to what could be, from an energy, from a crowd standpoint, maybe the best regional to go to. I'm jacked up for that. In terms of these regionals as a whole, I do have a couple bets. Campbell putting 3 units on it. Arkansas putting 5 units. I'm going to put 5 on Vandy, and I'm going to put 5 units on A&M.
And what was Vandy? What's the price on Vandy?
So this is from yesterday afternoon, but Vandy was at -145 when I saw it.
Okay. I like it. I'm with you on Arkansas and Florida. I don't care to lay the juice against Florida. A&M is my favorite, +175. And I think I'll play Virginia, -110. Virginia to take care of their own regional there in Charlottesville.
I don't hate it.
All right, let's get out of Dodge, man. It's the 920 podcast covering the whole 920-mile journey from Knoxville to Omaha. We're heading to Clemson this week. We'll see what next week has in store. Either way, we'll see on the flip side, folks. Thanks for joining us. For Logan Quinton and Charlie Collier, we're out.